So if you were to have a say in how information should be imparted to the public in a manner that gets the information out, or at least when confronted with these issues, for example, on Oprah's show, what would be, in your view, the ideal way to present this information to people?
Well, the first thing you have to know, Oprah emphasizes the power differential and who really matters by where she places people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people like Suzanne Somers or Christiane Northrup or whoever, or Jenny McCarthy, are on stage with Oprah.
Right.
And the nasty skeptics are in the audience waiting to be called upon, like, you know, school children, right. You know, and Oprah is the schoolmaster. So, and I don't know how you can get around that and get your, I think, as much as it pains me to say, mm-hmm. The way to get across something, if you're foolish enough to go on the Oprah show as the skeptic, would be to fight fire with fire and have your own sets of compelling anecdotes. It hurts me to say that, but I can't think of any other way that would have a chance of, you know, possibly penetrating the groupthink there.
So that is, it is unfortunate then that we're faced with a situation where, as you said, you have to fight fire with fire, but using the methodology that they employ to convince people, at least I would think that if you use that methodology, you would then, if further questions arose, you would have evidence to support it, as opposed to someone who is solely using that as a means to convince people of their argument.
I would like to think so. I would like to think so. I just don't know how much it would matter in an environment like that. There's always been this debate in the skeptic community about whether you should ever debate, you know, a pseudoscientist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's in intelligent design and creationism, whether it's in quackery. And Steve Novella and I, Steve Novella happens to be the founder of the Science-Based Medicine blog, while I somehow have gotten the title of managing editor, which basically just means I field all the complaints. But in any case, he actually did a debate with homeopaths, and I don't want homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
As you may recall, is one of the oldest and most pervasive forms of medical pseudoscience that there is. You know, to make a long explanation short, it states that like cures like, and that diluting and shaking something in serial dilutions will make the remedy stronger. The problem is they dilute these remedies enough times that there is darn near zero chance that a single molecule of the active substance is left. So they, you know, homeopaths will invoke all sorts of things about the memory of water and stuff like this, but, you know, which is all, you know, basically from a scientific point of view, nonsense. But in any case, Steve Novella did an interview, you know, did a debate with homeopaths. And we sort of had a discussion, you know, back and forth online about this, where I was kind of like, you know, I don't really think that's a good idea. It gives them, you know, what they crave more than anything else is to be seen as, you know, equals of scientific medicine, or to be seen as an alternative that, you know, it has validity and can be taken seriously. But I also understand Steve's point of view that sometimes it's really, really hard to say no.
Right.
You know, because then the cry of coward gets thrown at you, mm-hmm. or that, you know, you're afraid to take them on and that sort of thing. And this sort of debate's been going on, especially among defenders of, you know, the theory of evolution, because there's something, a very famous routine known as the Gish Gallop, named after Dwayne Gish. And pseudoscientists of all stripes like to use the Gish Gallop. Basically, the Gish Gallop is they throw so much stuff out there, nonsense, obscure studies, assertions that no one can possibly counter at all.
Right.
And they, and in fact, it's, you know, designed to put the defender of science on the defensive, you know, and it can be very effective because they will always have obscure stuff that you may not have heard of, and they're often very clever and very engaging with the audience. And basically, you know, the thing is, should you ever debate someone, if you're ever forced to debate, you know, someone, an advocate of pseudoscience, you have to be very careful about what the forum is.
Right.
The vast majority of the time, the cards are stacked against the skeptic. you know, it's a friendly audience to the pseudoscientist. It's, you know, often the moderator is sympathetic, not to the skeptic, and often they won't. You know, it's basically often a no-win situation.
Right.
Now, what Steve did, I think, at the University of Connecticut when he did his debate was a bit more even-handed. But even so, he's very, very good, so he came out okay. But if it had been me, I'm not as good. You know, so I don't know that I wouldn't have ended up, you know, letting the team down, so to speak.
Right.
So, you know, frequently scientists will go into these too. Scientists and you know, doctors who want to practice science-based medicine will go in thinking that, you know, because they have science on their side, that they can't lose. Well, that's not true, at least not in terms of the perception of people watching. You know, you most definitely can lose and lose bad.
Dr. David Gorski is program leader at the Breast Cancer Biology Program at the Barbara Ann Karmanos Cancer Institute, associate professor of surgery, Wayne State University School of Medicine in Detroit, Michigan. And Dr. Gorski, I'd like to thank you very much for a very informative and enlightening discussion. I recommend for our listeners to go to the website called Science-Based Medicine. You can read his article in its entirety and as well other opinions that are on there that look at science, look at medicine, and provide information. And it does allow an open forum for people to comment. And once again, Dr. Gorski, I'd like to thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.